God of truth, we come longing for the peace that only you can give. We seem so often to be tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind except that of your own Holy Spirit. Relieve our bodies and souls from all the desires and cravings shaped by this world, that we may be filled with your peace. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that our worship may be joyful and authentic, bearing good fruit in our lives and with our neighbors. We ask this in Jesus' name and now pray as he taught, so we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Offerings that we receive during the year that supports our mission work by our denomination here in the United States and Puerto Rico.
I have a three-year-old son. His name is Chauncey. He's my everything. Last year, he had a blood clot, a DVT in his leg. I had to tend to my baby so much that I couldn't go to the daycare work. I had an ultimatum of either staying to have a job or leaving to have a job. I discovered at New Martin Christian Center when I needed utility help with my bills, because at the time I wasn't working.
Chantel entered into our Center for Working Families looking for a way to improve her financial situation. What's interesting about Chantel is when she first enrolled, her exact words was, I don't need a job. I don't want to work. And I said, sweetie, you have a child. You need to work.
I went through training with Ed Martin, and I went through the driver readiness class, and I went through my AB, which is adult basic education. One day I came in, and I had a messed up eye, and Miss Tanya just saying, what happened? And I tried to lie to her. And she just, you know, say, honey, I've seen this way too many times before, so why don't you just talk to me about it? And I just broke down crying and just said, I see you with all these goals, and if you don't let this one thing, let it go, it's gonna stop you from your goals. I told Ms. Tony, you know, he's been coming to knock, and she would say, you know, you need to do something about that. First thing you should do is get a restraining order. It was Edmund R. Christian Center that was there for me. They were the ones saying, I have your back.
That's what drives me every day, is to make sure that my life matters and it matters in the lives of other people. And that is to make sure that I am helping them achieve the very best person that they can achieve.
If I did not come to the NR Christian Center, I'd probably still be sitting at home on my couch, not making any goals, not accomplishing anything. Probably still in domestic violence, probably still figuring out where to turn and where to go. What should I do? And never going to do it.
She also went through a job readiness, which is where I think she learned a lot about herself and what she was interested in, what she could do. There are things that I think she didn't think she could do.
And now I'm working at a licensed daycare for the state. It's way different. I have a life insurance policy. I have full medical and dental. I really probably wasn't even making over $500 every 2 weeks. And now I'm making like $800 every 2 weeks. Martin Christian Center changed my life by giving me the support that I needed at the time to get through rough challenges in my life, encouraging me to reach my goals, and at the end being there to support me when I finished with them and always having a friend. When I interviewed for jobs after I finished my training, I knew kind of how to present myself, what to say, what kind of clothes to wear. No one can take what I've made for me now away. Everything that I have is because of me and Edna Martin Christian Center supporting me to do what's best for me.
We just facilitated the process. She was the one who grabbed hold of it and said, hey, this is why I want my life. I see something bigger and better than where I am right now.
I was like traumatized. They changed me to know what I want in life and where I think I want to go. I want to take care of myself.
And we will continue to wrap our arms around her as she allows us to do it. And we'll be here to help her along the way.
Might not be the face of mission that we often think of, but a way of touching people in ways, and just thinking of what the ministry, the Edna Martin Center does and the other community centers in our American Baptist support throughout the country, knowing that what government is providing is going to be providing in the coming years, it looks like, these centers are going to be even more vital to those individuals that need not a hand out, but need a hand and help in discovering what they, who they are, and what God-given gifts they have and talents, how they can use those. And I just see this as a greater need in the coming months and years. And so I would encourage you to not only pray for, but also financially give to the America for Christ offering. There are special offering envelopes up on the table. If you're interested in doing today, we'll receive your gifts throughout the month, even after someone says, oh, is it too late? It's never too late to give a gift, especially to missions. You will always take money. We received $150 so far through last Sunday towards our goal of $800. And so just we want to thank you for watching and thinking and considering our America for Christ offering. So we come to our time of prayer this morning and have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another. I've heard from Claire Stevens a couple times this week, and we do want to continue to remember Claire, as I mentioned last week. She's been diagnosed with cancer again, and is still considering her options. So pretty much decided that she's not going to have a major surgery, but is looking at some other treatment options. And so she's talked to her doctors here as well as in Florida. We want to keep Claire in prayer. And we do want to keep Barbara Tolstrup in prayer, as we mentioned earlier, that her husband David did pass away this week. I talked to Barbara twice yesterday, and she's doing okay, as best as can be expected at this time. And Mark and Dottie Fox, and some of you may have seen my email I sent out yesterday. I spoke with them this week and learned that both of them have been in different hospitals at different times during this winter. But as far as I know right now, they're both out of the hospital, and they are returning to their winter home. And Richard told me that the address I included in my email for them is incorrect, so that they're living someplace, that they're staying someplace else in Florida. So don't send a card there. I will try and get the new address and send that out to folks again tomorrow, if I can get the new address. But we do want to keep Mark and Dottie in prayer. In addition, not only sending a card because they've been ill, but Mark's lone surviving sibling, Nancy, passed away on March 9th in Virginia. And so they right now are planning to go to Virginia on their way home and attend the service there for her in April and probably spend some time there and then come to New England. So we want to keep the Foxes in prayer. We want to keep the Williams, who are also away in Florida, and I believe they're doing okay.
I heard from them last night.
Okay, they're doing okay?
They're doing okay. Busy doing things with ecology and,
great,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Great. And we want to keep the Huddies away, who are in Hawaii right now, and they'll be back in a few weeks as well. So all the folks that are away right now and for winter breaks, we just want to keep all those folks in prayer today. I want to also continue to remember Paul Patriot. I've not spoken to Paul this week. But I know he was seeing the doctor at the beginning of the week, so we want to just keep Paul in prayer and keep May in prayer as well, that she can just be at home. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns that you'd like to share? Lisa?
I have a celebration and a concern. The celebration is my friend Karen, who we prayed for, who has diabetes and a wound in her foot, and she was facing losing her foot. The doctors are very much more optimistic that she'll keep the foot now and have some reconstructive surgery. And the concern is my mother's former neighbor and friend Roger passed away. So if we could pray for his wife Marie and the family.
Okay. Roger's family, his wife Marie. Prayer. Anyone else have a prayer? Rosa?
Yeah, my mother's younger sister passed away last week.
Sorry.
And that was unexpected.
In the Philippines?
In the Philippines?
In the Philippines,
okay.
Yes. So I want to keep your family in prayer, especially for Amelia. Did I see Peggy?
Yeah, for my sister-in-law. She passed away Thursday.
Okay.
And my sister is not good.
Right.
So what's going on with the MRI? His brain is swelling.
So I want to keep your family in prayer. Healy, did you have a request?
Yes, for my younger brother, who has the problem of filial kidney.
Has a what?
He has the problem of filial kidney. The problem of his kidneys.
Kidney problems.
Okay, I'm sorry, I wasn't understanding. So he has kidney problems.
Yeah.
Right. And it's your younger brother.
Yeah.
So I want to keep his first name.
His name is Emmanuel.
Daniel?
Emmanuel.
Yeah. Okay, we want to keep him in prayer. And he was as a relative too. It's difficult. And he had loved ones that have problems. Anyone else have?
He also continued unrest in Cameroon.
Yeah,
violence has just increased, and more arrests, torture, and killings.
Okay, we want to keep
when
that.
The English-speaking regions
want
independence.
We want to keep that nation in
yeah.
prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request?
We have a friend who was diagnosed for stage 4 breast cancer.
Okay, a friend who's been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, so mm-hmm. her in prayer. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of worshiping together today and spending these few moments in conversation with you. We thank you that you hear not only our private prayers, but also our corporate petitions. We don't understand how you're able to do that because we are limited by our human understanding, but we believe our faith teaches us that you can receive all prayers from everyone at the same time and respond to them in according to your will. And Lord, we thank you that you are such a personal God, that you are not so remote that you don't care about us, but that you love us and that you want the best for us. At times you are saddened by the words that we say or the behavior that we do. And God, we are sorry for those times that we disappoint you, those times that we anger you. And Lord, as we come this day, we do ask for forgiveness for those mistakes that we've made that have gone against your will. We do pray that you would forgive us of our sins. And Lord, today we've mentioned several who have health concerns and worries, some by injury, some by disease. And we just lift them up to you, Lord, just praying for you to be especially present in their lives. We pray for healing that is according to your will for their lives. Lord, we pray for those that have been gifted and trained in the medical field that are able to care for us when our bodies are injured or ill. Lord, just pray that they may have the wisdom and the skill needed to care for those who they encounter, who need their wisdom and their talent. Lord, we just lift them up today, and just we also lift up those who have died and families who are encountering the loss of a loved one. Lord, for many, their hearts are very heavy right now. And we just pray that your spirit of comfort and peace may be with them. We pray for those that the death is not necessarily recent, but it's the anniversary is coming, or they feel especially alone right now. They may especially feel your presence in their lives, so they can know they are not alone. Lord, if there's some way that we, as church family members and as followers of Jesus Christ, may reach out to those whom we know and perhaps even those whom we don't know, to offer comfort and peace. Give us those skills and give us the perception of where we need to be and what we need to say. For Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, we do pray for our world. And as Abraham mentioned, in his native country of Cameroon, where there's so much violence going on right now, we pray for that country and other nations where there is violence, where it's not necessarily safe to live there. Sometimes we take for granted the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation, and we quibble about petty things at times. Lord, we just pray for those that are living in danger today. And it may not be because of a government. It could be because of domestic violence, like what we heard about in the video today. Lord, we just pray for those that are not in safe areas, that they may find a place of safety, where they may live, where they may find rescue. And thinking about that, Lord, we do pray for those organizations and ministries that receive funding for the America for Christ offering. And the video that we watched helps to put a human face on the funds that we give and to see how we can reach out to those in need and those that we'll never meet, whom we'll never encounter or know their names. But we know that through those centers, through your love, individuals are gaining a new life and a new way of living, a new hope. And Lord, we just pray that the dollars that we give, the prayers that we offer, may bless those who are in need today. Lord, we offer all of these things now to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Talked about giving money to the America for Christ offering, that is important, and that can be done at this time, as well as presenting your tithes and your gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. And we ask that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we use these gifts to share the great news of your love for others, to others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Seated. Richard Freeman will be coming to read the scripture today.
I'm reading from the New International Version, which is my favorite current scripture. There's many, many translations, and each one is a little different. From Psalm 119, we'll read 33, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill the promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. in your righteousness, preserve my life. Thus ends the reading of God's word.
Thank you, Richard. Let's pray together. Lord, these ancient words, these words of prayer that the psalmist wrote are also our prayer today. We pray, O Lord, that our hearts and our minds may be open to receiving words from you, a message from you that will help us and strengthen us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you ever feel stressed? Maybe you're feeling that way right now. Please know that you are not alone. I mean, I've already heard the ripples, so it's like you're not alone. Even in here, we share stress. Stress levels are higher than ever. For scientists have shown that they have increased at least over the last 35 years. According to researchers at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, stress increased 18% for women and 24% for men between the years of 1983 and 2009. Especially hard were people with lower incomes and less education. Overall, most of us are feeling more stressed today because of economic pressures and the difficulty of protecting ourselves from the world and its constant flow of information. You know, some people just want to say, turn out the world. Just, I need to deal with what's going on in my own life right now and not with what's going on out there.
Amen.
But there is some good news. Stanley, I hear you. But there is some good news. And Stanley, you'll appreciate this. There's some good news. For according to USA Today, stress decreases as we age. So if we can just stay alive long enough and keep aging, eventually we will feel less stressed than we are today. But with all this stress, what are people doing to try and deal with it? Adult coloring books are huge right now, and some are actually advertising stress-relieving patterns. Now, I haven't seen those, but that's okay. I wasn't looking for them either. But the Washington Post reports that about 12 million adult coloring books were sold in the United States in 2015. I couldn't find the statistics for last year. I bet they were even higher. Books have been developed for anyone with a particular interest and a need to relax. In other words, there's a coloring book out there for each one of us. People are also turning to technology. Oddly enough, the smartphones that create so much stress for us can also help us relax. These devices normally make us anxious by buzzing and pinging at us, constantly demanding our attention. But now there are applications, or apps as they are known, being developed to help calm us down and not to be all frenzied. For example, some apps offer guided meditations that talk the user through mental exercises with the goal to reduce stress or to cope with anxiety. While other apps offer themes such as Coastline at Sunset or Fireplace with an accompanying soothing soundtrack. Other apps lead the user through journal keeping as a way of reflecting on the day and describing the things that have gone well and that the user is thankful for. And photos or videos can be added to this, and then they can even be shared on social media so that we can keep our gratitude private or public, and it's whatever makes us more serene. Each of us needs stress relief, and there's nothing wrong with adult coloring books and smartphone apps. But before these became popular, people had turned to self-help books of all types and all types of recordings of meditations to listen to, and yoga. And those aren't bad. Those are still in existence, but those were taking place before these newest things. But all of these were being turned to and are being turned to in an attempt to deal with the stress that we are feeling. Well, what does the Bible have to say about stress? Long before any of these approaches were invented, Psalm 119 provided people with a path to inner peace. This biblical song promises to teach us God's ways with no need for coloring pencils or an exercise mat or a handheld electronic device. So we need to say, you know, what does the psalm do? Well, more than we might imagine, for in just 8 short verses. Now, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. Okay, so and we're just focusing on a very, very small segment of that. But in these just 8 verses, it offers a simple yet stress-relieving program designed to bring peace to the soul. In the first step of God's approach to peaceful living, it puts us in touch with God's ways. The psalmist writes, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." The psalm writer wants to learn of God's statutes, God's laws, God's commandments, not because of the value in memorizing a list of rules and regulations, but because these guidelines contain the way to life and peace. I want us to think for a moment about the Ten Commandments. Every one of them has been designed to help us, not hurt us. And although they are challenging to follow, these commandments are intended to be life-enhancing and to give us a positive framework for our words and our actions. Now, many of us will probably think, oh, those Ten Commandments, those are hard to live by. That's, you know, that's not something good, but something positive. For the first 4 commandments in the list of 10 offer guidance for our relationship with God. For those first 4 say, "I am the Lord your," and I'm sort of paraphrasing and compacting them a little bit, and I modernized a little bit as well. "I am the Lord your God. Never have any other God. Never worship or serve idols or statues that represent any creature in the sky, on the earth, or in the water. Never use the name of the Lord your God carelessly. Remember the day of worship by observing it as a holy day." But those all have to do with our relationship with God. The next 6 commandments in that list of 10 explain what it means to have a healthy relationship with each other. "Honor your father and mother. Never murder. Never commit adultery. Never steal. Never lie when you testify about your neighbor. And never desire to take anything away from your neighbor." The Protestant reformer John Calvin noted that God divided his law into 2 parts. The first part dealt with the worship of God's majesty, and the second part dealt with the duties of love that have to do with people. The 2 are equally life-enhancing and equally important for inner peace. No doubt Jesus had this approach in mind when he said that the greatest commandment challenged us both to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Nothing can be more calming than the knowledge that we are right with God and right with our neighbors. That is, that we're walking in God's ways. But that's not all that Psalm 119 in these verses give us. The second step of God's approach to peaceful living helps us to avoid the ways of stressful world around us. We read, "Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways." Instead of, or even in addition to, focusing on the soothing soundtrack, the psalm advises us to turn our attention to God's decrees and not to selfish gain. Rather than looking at a coastline at sunset, the psalm invites us to avert our eyes from vanities and receive life in God's way. Unfortunately, so much of our stressful world is focused on vanities and selfish gain. Even our state governments are in the business of dangling riches in front of us through lottery ads, which invite us to play a little.
Give your dream a chance. Imagine the possibilities. But guess what? Those dreams and possibilities are stress-producing and life-diminishing. Fortune magazine reports that 44% of people who have won large lottery prizes are broke within 5 years. Nearly a third declare bankruptcy, meaning they end up worse than before they became rich. Lottery winners frequently become estranged from family and friends, and they have higher rates of depression, drug and alcohol abuse, divorce, and suicide than the average American. Doesn't sound very peaceful to me. Better to turn our hearts to God's decrees and receive the life that God wants to give us. This psalm then advises us to walk toward God and away from the ways of the stressful world around us. Put the two together, and we get a totally free and unexpected promise from God. And the psalmist writes, "Keep your promise to me, your servant, the promise you make to those who obey you. Save me from the insults I fear. How wonderful are your judgments. I want to obey your commands. Give me new life, for you are righteous." God promises to give life to those who respect him and walk in his ways. This is a life of right relationship with God, one which includes God's commandments, but is not based on perfect adherence to them. That is beyond our ability, which Jesus himself realized when he said, "No one is good but God alone." Although we cannot expect perfect perfection through commandment keeping, we can strive for a life of a right relationship with God and with the people around us. This is what Jesus is urging when he spoke of righteousness, by which he meant good relationships, the key to relieving stress and achieving peace. I'm going to look at a couple of the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke, and I'm going to do a quick substitution for the word with the words right relationship for the words righteousness, which is one of those big words that we aren't always sure what it means. But I think we know what a right relationship means. And if we look at that, then we can sort of unlock what Jesus was talking about in his Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for right relationships, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of right relationships, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Unless your right relationships exceed those of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. God's approach to peaceful living is all about having right relationships. It's the key to experiencing inner calm. It puts us in touch with God's ways and helps us to avoid the ways of the stressful world around us. If we put these two aspects together and we receive God's promises of life, this is a righteous life, a life of right relationships, and it's the key to reducing stress and finding inner calm in every time, in every place, and in every situation. And there's no special equipment needed. Let's pray together. Lord, we do sometimes feel so stressful that our insides are churning, and we sometimes just don't know what to do. We just can't focus on anything. Our minds are just scattered. Lord, in those moments, we just pray that we may focus on our relationship with you and our relationship with others, and that we may just take a deep breath and just inhale your spirit, and that your spirit of calm may come into us, and that we may realize that we need to put things in perspective. We need to evaluate what our relationship with you in that moment is and how we are relating with others. And Lord, we just thank you for these words from the psalmist, these words of prayer, these words that we can take with us and internalize, that we seek to obey your commandments and we seek to have a right relationship with you. And Lord, we know we are not perfect. We know that we do things that are against your will. But Lord, we strive to follow you and to be obedient to you. And Lord, in doing that, we know that we will be better citizens of this world and that we'll be able to relate better to our neighbors. And Lord, just in these moments, we do pray for your calming peace and your calming presence to be with us. For those that are feeling especially stressed right now, we just pray that calm and peace that comes only from you may be experienced, and that we may be changed by having been here together today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 596. As we go our separate ways, may the words of the Apostle Paul guide us on our journey. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord goes with you. Do not be anxious, but in everything, in prayer and thanksgiving, present your lives to God. And God's peace will guard and guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.